Welcome to the Kickstart Your Book Sales Podcast with USA Today bestselling authors Russell Nolte and Monica Leonel, where you'll learn how to supercharge your book sales, go aggressively wide, and take your author career to the next level.
So mistake number four, not making the case for your books when you move direct. So this is kind of an addendum to the last thing. So I was talking about the 20% easy yeses, talking about the 60% persuadable. And so when you're working with the 60% persuadable, you have to make the case for your books. You have to persuade those readers. On retailers, your product page, optimize for the 20% easy yeses. When you go direct, you're going to aim for the 60% persuadable. And we'll talk about what that takes. To make the case, it's really three things. And this is what I think Russell and I teach pretty well. One is increased excitement. One is breaking through objections. And one is using psychological triggers. And so we'll talk about that very quickly. This first one is an example of creating more excitement. So on a retailer page, on a product page, you only have so much space to really say anything. And so like for most people, you are just going to put a product description there, and maybe you'll do some A+ content or some images if the retailer allows that. A+ content is specific to Amazon, of course. But for the most part, you're just putting like a little bit of content there. And when you make the case, you basically want to put a lot more content. That's really all it is, to increase excitement. Is you want to find like many different angles, because that's what's like one of those angles, or maybe a bunch of those angles together, is what is going to persuade someone to be more excited about your stuff. And so the other thing, there was an author at the conference who was talking about how they don't write very much because ebooks are an impulse purchase. So when you go to direct sales, that's not true anymore. You're not just trying to sell a single ebook. You're often trying to sell a bundle or a paperback or a special edition of something. And so you have to talk about it more. And it's not an impulse purchase anymore. Like that's so important. So when you're trying to sell something that's $5, you can kind of get away with like just a little bit of copy. But when you're trying to sell something that's $25, $50, $100, you have to be lengthy. And so you'll notice that Russell and I are very lengthy people a lot of the time. We talk a lot. But I think a lot of it is, again, we focus on the persuadable. And so we know that the longer that we talk about something, the more we're going to increase the excitement and the more objections we're going to be able to break through. And so that is why we will sometimes, you know, we'll do, like when we do our launches, for example, this is a nonfiction example, but it'll probably make a lot of sense. When we do our nonfiction examples, our current core product is $1,000, which is a lot, but we have found that it takes us about 4 hours to sell a $1,000 product to somebody. So that's usually like two webinars, and it can take less, but we found that like if we're on the phone with that person for 4 hours, like they're on a webinar or whatever, and of course they're interested, like, you know, again, you know, there's easy yeses, there's persuadable yeses. And then there's no's. And so like the no people are never going to buy from us, but we've found that we know it takes about 4 hours of live presentation for somebody to be a yes to us. And we go through all their questions, you know, they're able to answer questions with us. And so that's what it takes for us. And so, you know, for like a $50 to $100 product, it's going to take a little less. You probably don't have to get on the phone with people. You probably don't have to like have a podcast, which our podcast has over 50 episodes all about Kickstarter right now. So sometimes people spend time with us there. Like we have a group around it. So you probably don't have to do all of that. But this is my campaign from several months ago, selling a book series. And, you know, I'm going to show you six images. The first image is just the description. And so it's a description, it's a sample. Like, this is probably all that I would put on a retailer page. So it's got a headline, it's got three very short paragraphs, a couple sentences each. It's got a link to the sample, so you can read the first eight chapters. But that is not, when I put this on Kickstarter, that's not where I stopped. I also did images. I did more about the series. This next image, the third image, is about me as a writer and like what kind of books I write in general, plus more images. Then I did a series guide. I addressed some objections here. All series are minimal swearing, closed door, closed door, I guess, like sexual content. So no sex, I guess I would call that like low steam. At most PG-13 violence, so it's not gory. So I'm handling objections there as well. But for the most part, I'm just trying to get people excited about this series. Then I did more about the series and talked about it from a different angle. Then I did more about the different points of views and like the other characters that play a big role in the series. And then I had some reviews, but basically I did probably six times the amount of content that I would normally have on the product page just about the one series. And that is so important when you go to direct sales. Sometimes we'll see on people's websites even that they have their product page. And I kind of blame this on Shopify and WooCommerce because that's what they have as their templates. But like, you know, Shopify, WooCommerce templates are like, they basically look a lot like Amazon's retailer page, but they have an image, they have a description, they have like a spot for reviews, they have a buy link, they have, you know, like you can put a couple images there, but it's not that much different. And so we see people kind of driving traffic to these pages, sometimes even sending paid traffic to the pages, which I think is like not the best idea. And it's like, you're probably going to have to do, like, one is that you're going to have to do more to sell directly from your website or from a Kickstarter or a Patreon. You're going to have to do more than what you do on Amazon, because Amazon readers, they already get, like you get that it's a book. They get that it's, like, in the genre or whatever. They're you know, Amazon already has their credit card. Like, there's all these things that are nice. That Amazon's developed a lot of trust with people, versus when you're selling on your website, you're not going to be able to do the same amount of work that you did for Amazon or that Amazon has. You're going to have to do a little bit more persuasion. You're going to have to address more objections. For example, like people want to know if you're doing from your website, people want to know like, when am I going to get the thing? How's it going to be delivered? What do you do with my credit card information? Are you going to add me to your email list? Will I get it right away? Like, am I going to be able to download it? Is it going to be easy? Is it going to be like a bad experience? So, you know, and same with Kickstarter, it's kind of similar. Not as many objections, but people, you know, like something, I think I read somewhere that like over half or like 30% of Kickstarters never get delivered, which is crazy. But yeah, like people have been burned by Kickstarters in the past. I know that was one of my hesitations to using Kickstarter. I was like, I've backed projects and like people never sent the thing. So there are just more things that you have to work through. Okay, the second example is from Lindsay Baroker, who, and this is for Patreon. So Lindsay, I encourage you to go check out her Patreon, first of all. It's so good. But one of the things that was cool about it is that she has this like really long FAQ. And so if you're thinking about like, what does it mean to break through objections? Like, what is that? You can just think of what's the FAQ? It's really about the frequently asked questions. And so you'll see like Russell and I do on the nonfiction side, but also on the fiction side, Russell and I do a lot of Q&As. Like anytime we do a launch, we have a Q&A, and a lot of that is so that people can ask their questions, and then we can, and like almost every question they ask is an objection to wanting to buy our thing. So for example, you know, one of the questions we get a lot is like, should I as an author use Kickstarter. Here's my situation. And that, it sounds, it is a question. It is the author having a question. It is us trying to help them and answer the question, but also their question is an objection to why they would, they don't want to buy this, because they're like, well, does this even apply to me? That's an objection. And so you can think about that for your own stuff, or you can go look at Lindsay Baroker's page and get some ideas, because she has an FAQ on there, and every single one of the answers to these questions is addressing an objection. So here are the questions that she answers on her Patreon page. Who am I? Why am I on Patreon? What's in it for the reader? And so she goes through like all her different levels. She, you know, she tells people who it's for, who it's not for. She kind of keeps going. How are the eBooks delivered? What format are they delivered in? Because this answers the question of like, I don't want to deal with BS, basically. Like, I just want to like pay for this. I want to get the eBook downloaded easily. I don't want to mess with any tech. She answers, I want to, you know, what's your publishing schedule? What are your next few books? She answers, what if I only want fantasy, but you also write sci-fi? What if I only want the books from this series, but not that series? She answers, how often do you publish? So like what they're really asking is like, how often am I going to get charged for a book? The author answers, can I loan books to friends and family? Why did you start Patreon? You know, that's kind of like why Patreon, but it's a deeper, deeper look at like why she started it. So she kind of goes into more of that. But this entire thing is just breaking through objections to people becoming Patreons of her. All right. Did I go through? Oh, okay. So then I didn't really talk about psychological triggers. What I will say, if you are listening on the podcast or if you are watching, what I will say is that we have a chapter about psychological triggers in our book. And I think people kind of breeze over it. But to me, it's like the most valuable, like probably the most valuable chapter in the entire book. It's called, so it's chapter 6. And so the book is called Get Your Book Selling on Kickstarter, if you're listening. But it is called... yeah, chapter 6, it's called Maximizing the Buyer's Psychology of a Kickstarter Campaign. And there's even this little like brain slash head slash thinking cap slash word bubble thing in here that goes through the 6 categories. And then there's like a detailed, so if you have the paperback, it's on page 106, but there is like a detailed list of, gosh, like 30 different psychological triggers grouped into 6 categories and how to use them and like what, like why people resonate with them, all sorts of stuff. Has a fiction and a nonfiction example. It's really, really good. But I think people don't, I think people just like breeze over them and don't realize that this like gold mine is in here. And I know it's crazy. It's a little crazy of me to like say that one of my chapters is a gold mine, but, yeah, I do. I think it's a really good chapter. It's like 30, looks like it's about 30 pages long. So it doesn't take too long to read, but definitely read that because and try to come up with examples as you go. And like, because like really, gosh, like so much of marketing and sales is just using these psychological triggers, like just layering them into your book. So to me, doing marketing and sales without knowing psychological triggers really well is like writing a fiction book without knowing tropes. Like it's like that foundational where you can get a lot of things technically right, but if you don't add in like psychological triggers are like, they're kind of like the salt on your steak. Like it's not going to taste good without it. So I just really recommend, I really recommend reading that chapter.
Thank you so much for hanging out with Monica and Russell on the Kickstart Your Book Sales podcast. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to visit kickstartyourbooksales.com/free to download our best resources to help supercharge your author career and take it to the next level starting today.